Episode of the Daft on Draft podcast. I am your co-host Corey Kinnon, along with my co-host Dalton Miller. For this episode, as we did a couple weeks ago now, we went through players 1 through 5 on our big boards. Today we're going to go through 6 through 10. We're each going to present our 6 through 10, and we're going to talk about why we have them ranked where we have on our big boards. You know, we're running out of college football games to talk about, so we're getting into big board talk. But again, I'm not the only one presenting a big board. So Dalton, how are you in the lovely state of Pennsylvania tonight?
You know, I'm fantastic. My little small town put in a food hall. It's got some Middle Eastern food. It has Thai food. It has a pho place. It's got wings. It's got tacos. It's got barbecue, a macaroni and cheese thing that you can just throw any protein, any like toppings you want on it. A waffle place, guys, a waffle place where they do like waffles and ice cream and a whole bunch of different toppings and like Cinnamon Toast Crunch and Fruity Pebbles. And it was, for a very small town, a fantastic experience. As somebody who lived in Dallas, like that's the type of environment that I'm like used to being around and seeing. And seeing that in my tiny hometown where I grew up is very awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing. We have, I live in Columbus, so it's not,
you got a small town,
but we do have a food hall as well. It's awesome. It's an old like dairy can, like jarring factory. Like,
yeah, our place was a furniture place.
Yeah. And so it's 3 stories. And then the food hall's on the first story with a bar. There's a rooftop bar on the 3rd story. And then there's like a speakeasy lounge on the 2nd story. So it's pretty cool. But yeah, food halls are amazing. I love them so much. You could go there every day and have something different to eat and feel fulfilled if you had an unlimited budget. But are you ready to dive in to 6 through 10?
I absolutely am.
So the question is, do we want to start at 10 and go down to 6, or do we want to start at 6 and go up to 10?
Oh. Let's go down. Let's go from 6 to 10. So, okay. I think 6 to 10 is the way to go.
Okay. Well, let's dive in then. I will let you bat lead off here, because I don't think we have the same 6th overall player. We might. Maybe not.
I don't know. We might. My 6th overall player is Penn State tight end Tyler Warren. And this is my final blue chip grade as well. A lot of blue chip grades in this class. A lot of incredibly like high-end talent. And then it starts to fall off a little bit, but we will get to that fall off point tonight. Tyler Warren is a freak of nature. And I do think there is something to be said about the 6'6", 260-pound dude who's built like a brick shit house, not being the best blocker in the world. And he certainly is not. But as a former quarterback in his 4th year, like before he was a freshman here at Penn State, this guy probably never put his hand in the dirt. So I know, playing as a high school quarterback, I never blocked anybody, you know, and I played linebacker too, safety, and I'm not blocking people. It's a completely different skill set, and I think that he's gotten better at it. I think that the desire to be a blocker is there as an inline blocker, but this dude's athleticism at his size is freaky, because the lack of strength and power that we see as a blocker is absolutely there as a route runner. His ability to shield guys, to box them out, to finish catches in the air, win in contested situations, his ability after the catch, not just to make, you know, guys hurt when he hits them and he lowers his shoulder down, which he likes to do, but to legitimately make guys miss. And then you have that receiving talent, you have the willingness to block, and proof that he is getting better in that respect. And then you can put the ball in his hands as a back, on direct snaps. He can throw the ball. He is throwing the ball multiple times now this year, and I guarantee you're going to see it in the playoffs as well. He is Penn State's best and practically only offensive weapon. Now, Nick Singleton is a good wide receiver out of the backfield as well, but Tyler Warren is effectively the only person that they can throw the football to. And when they throw him the football consistently, good things happen. And so for me, I see that athleticism, and it's just freaky. I mean, you're talking about a normal Penn State athlete that we're used to seeing at prototypical old school tight end size. It's he's pretty special, man.
He is. He moves so well at 6'6", 260, man. And I'll get to him a little bit later on in this episode, as he's a little bit further down my list, but spoilers, is in this 6-10 range for me as well. Number six for me is Georgia safety Malachi Starks. I think he had a little bit of rough stretch. The Texas game on, even though Georgia won that game big, I thought the Texas game, he got beaten off man a little bit, kind of didn't stand his ground and catch technique, like trying to catch technique, didn't stand his ground and got caught, I think, a little bit flat-footed in that game on crossers. I also questioned his tackling a little bit in that game as well, but over the stretch of the season, it looks like the Malachi Starks of old that we've seen his freshman, sophomore year. And I think the starting place when we talk about the Malachi Starks of old and the Malachi Starks we've seen this year as well, because what game was that? It was one of their bigger wins. It might have been the Texas game where he had another acrobatic interception. But that is where the starting point when talking about Malachi Starks is those ball skills. I mean, his very first game as a true freshman against Oregon, he made one of the more incredible interceptions you'll see, fading back, throwing one hand up in the air and peeling that ball out of the air as a true freshman straight out of high school. So the ball production's off the charts. When the ball gets to him, again, the receiver-like ball skills, catching the ball away from his frame, soft hands, awareness along the boundary, like unreal body control along the boundary for a defensive back. And then you throw in, we talked about this on Adapter Draft Edition not too long ago, that you can line him up in the slot and he can man somebody up. You can even line him up at outside corner in a pinch if you need to, and he'll man somebody up. Unbelievably light feet, unbelievable athlete, unbelievable trigger. We have a 3-year sample size of this guy playing dominant football at the highest level of competition. So for me, Malachi Starks, from his range, his IQ, his ball skills, would like to see him deconstruct blocks a little bit better, but outside of that, Malachi Starks is the real deal, and he's going to make some team happy. And he might fall again. Kyle Hamilton went 12th in the draft, and he was my top player that year because he plays safety. So he might fall a little bit in the draft, but big fan of Malachi Starks.
Yeah. Who is your number seven? Do we want to snake this, or do we want to go back and forth?
Okay. Yeah, let's snake it. Who's your number seven? For me, is a player that I have seen in people's top tens, and I have seen as low as 31. On a big board as recently as released today from somebody that I respect as a draft analyst as well. But for me, he is in my top 10 and he is number 7, and that's Missouri receiver Luther Burden. I get the hangups. I do. The production's dropped. His role is a little gimmicky at Missouri. It can be a little difficult to project his role at the NFL level. But everything that I have seen from his athletic profile and on tape tells me that I can project him to a role that he's not currently playing at Missouri. Again, he's playing 80% in the slot. I think he can play Z, and I think he can play it really, really well. And what that comes down to for me specifically, and I've talked about this a lot, and what I hate most about this wide receiver class is there are like 2 or 3 guys that I think actually have play strength at the wide receiver position in this class, and the rest can get rerouted pretty easily and don't play through contact well at the catch point, some things like that. Luther Burden is extremely physical. With his hands, whether that's working down the field, you can see it when he's stacking defenders on slot fades, which he does frequently. Whether that's using his hands at the top of the route, whether that's hard, like his lower half just completely exploding through arm tackles with the ball in his hands, because he's a yak monster for sure as well. His play strength is not a question mark that I have for him, and that sets him apart. Even with a guy like Teteroa McMillan, to be honest, because we'll talk to him in a later, talk about him in a later episode, but I have some questions about his play strength, even at 6'5", 215. I don't have any questions about Luther Burden's play strength. And again, I know his route tree is a little stunted as well right now at Missouri. That's kind of in his gimmicky role playing in the slot. And but anytime he does attack down the field, he is making unbelievable adjustments on the football, whether that's on back shoulder fades along the boundary. And that South Carolina game in the back of the end zone to peel off that the defensive back and show his hands last second and contort his body and make that catch in the back of the end zone. Unreal body control, strong hands, catches everything. Again, a blue chip yak guy. And again, I think he has that play strength. He has that twitch, that quick twitch to get in and out of any break that you would ask him to project him as a Z at the next level as well, where he can play more than just 20% of snaps out of the slot. So for me, Luther Burden is just too explosive of a playmaker, too physical of a playmaker. And I see that transition to playing Z for me to not love his game.
So my seventh guy is somebody who was on my radar all year. And I didn't get to him until I saw him at, I believe, number 43 on Dane Brugler's top 50. But my number seven player in this class is South Carolina safety Nick Emenwori. Yes, that does mean that I have him above Malachi Starks. Is it a very lofty projection? Yes, because we do, as Corey said, have three full seasons of Starks being a freak. But Nick Emenwori is as good a safety as I've seen mentally on the back end since Kyle Hamilton. And there have been a couple of pretty decent safeties come through. Kirby Joseph is one of them, and he is playing very well at the NFL level. Nick Emenwori is one of the more intelligent match coverage defenders as a boundary safety that I have seen since Antoine Winfield Jr. for me personally in that specific role. But he's not 5'9", 205. He's 6'3", 230. And I've watched him countless times in a flat half turn shuffle wait until a number one or a number two is damn near even with him, and he swivels and carries vertically. He's got a very quick trigger downhill. His ability to see route concepts and understand what routes concepts go with one another and what is happening, what teams like to do, how they like to attack. There's a very good example of this twice in the Ole Miss game where he almost jumped a double slant. And then later in the game on a third and five, he tried to jump it again and they pulled out the tendency breaker. Guy ran a sluggo and he thought that he was going to have help from the corner because both of the receivers had inside releases, so he thought that the apex defender was going to be taken, or the hook defender was going to be taken number two inside. He took number one inside, thought the corner was going to bounce back, but the number two ran a whip route back to the outside. His guy ran a sluggo. The corner sat. It should have been an easy touchdown, but Brady Cook missed the throw. That type of understanding of how teams are looking to attack and be able to have that innate ability to step down and step in front of passing lanes from a deep position, to have the confidence in yourself to wait and be able to sit on those intermediate routes and still be able to carry vertically, to be able to practically jog on the field as you are covering tight ends. This is a freak of nature athlete who is also an incredibly intelligent coverage defender, and the only bad part about his game is that he is 6'3". Because even at 230, he moves fantastic. But that longer anatomy, and we had the same struggles with Kyle Hamilton, show up just anatomically. He is not going to be as naturally shifty as somebody like Malachi Starks. Even though I think technically he is very good when it comes to being able to swivel, being able to mirror, just physically, because he has longer legs, that's going to happen. But also at 6'3 and 230, he can come downhill. He can stack climbing linemen and shed them, dissect their block. Mm-hmm. Like, he is everything that you look for in a safety. Plus, he's one of the few guys who actually does play on the back end and isn't a slot guy that you're projecting to safety. He's special, man. He's a special athlete. I love how intelligent he is. I love safety play in general, and he plays a role that I absolutely adore when it comes to evaluating, and he does it better than anybody I've seen since Antoine Winfield Jr. in that specific role.
I love it. I love it. I know we want a snake, but he's my eight, so I feel like I'll just dump him out there as my eight and add my input on him as well.
Okay.
Yeah. Extremely intelligent. We were texting about this earlier today. Like, I noticed it multiple times on boot concept where he'll leverage himself perfectly in between the flat and the crosser. And to the point where if they throw the crosser, he could peel back on it. If they throw the flat, he'll trigger down on it. Like, unbelievable. And he just has such a good IQ of route concepts where, you know, if he knows they're sitting in quarters match, which they play a lot of palms, so they sit in quarters match a lot, he knows what to anticipate if the guy that he's matching with isn't running the route that he thinks he is at that depth that he's matching. So usually palms against 7 yards. If that receiver doesn't attack him at 7 yards, like, he's very good at understanding what routes, based on what he's seeing in front of him, might be attacking him from his peripherals and peeling onto those. And you mentioned his ability to stack and shed blockers, unbelievable length, unbelievable physicality to deconstruct blocks in the open field. Very firm open field tackler as well. Again, some of the anatomically stuff I did notice, like, sometimes he struggles to break down, but if he's squared up, he's not missing a tackle. On the move, breaking down can get a little slippery for him. But and then I want to talk about his ball skills too, because we just raved about Malachi Starks' ball skills. Even Worry also plays with extremely soft hands. He's made multiple acrobatic catches going back to 2023 as well against Clemson, against Kentucky. When he has to go up and get it, he knows how to high point the football, knows how to time that up. So he's got fantastic ball skills too, and I think that's probably an underrated part of his game. But when he attacks the football, he knows how to do it away from his frame. He doesn't look like a defensive back trying to catch the football. So for me, he fell at number eight for me, and sorry to cut you off, but that just was too good of a segue. So who's number eight for you?
No, I love that. I love that you actually have that love for him, because I think more people need to have it. Number eight for me is Texas A&M pass rusher Nick Scorton. I'm going down with the ship on this one. He was my top guy for quite a bit. Abdul Carter just continued to get better and becoming more of a freak, and that was just impossible to ignore at a certain point. I do have my worries about Scorton when it comes to holding a little bit of that extra body fat. Now, what I kind of give him a little bit of grace for is that he will also be one of the youngest guys in the draft if he decides to declare. So there is youth on his side to kind of figure out his body, to get his diet in check. If he needs to eat better quality foods, that will become easier at the NFL level as well. There's really no excuse to be out of shape, especially when you're going to be a first round pick. But the hands are fantastic. The pass rush plan is outrageous. The bend that he has at 280 pounds should only get better at 265 pounds. He is a powerful player on the outside when it comes to edge setting. I think that he's not the longest guy in the world, but I think that he plays with pretty good length overall. I wish that there was a little bit more of a natural power element to his game. He is a little bit more of a finesse rusher. But surprisingly, kind of a lot of the bigger guys in this class are more finesse than you would think. But, man, he's just so technically sound. He's got a great cross chop, the Eurostep floating rip thing that everybody is doing now. His hands are accurate. They're powerful. And then he has the first step, the ability to win up the arc and bend corners at his size. He's just a really solid player overall that I just wish would lose 10 to 15 pounds.
Yeah, I'm going to be completely honest. I'm not watching any Scorton 2024 tape. Like, I have too much intel that tells me the 20-year-old who's playing football in his hometown is
he's dead.
He's not in any rush to get out of to college.
I've heard that as well.
So he won't make an appearance on my big board because, like, I'm not going to waste my time at this point at the draft process to watch a guy who's not even going to come out this year, yeah, based on every indication that I've gotten. Number nine, another repeat guy here for me, Tyler Warren. You and I have been on the Tyler Warren train for quite some time. We've talked. It's actually kind of funny because you and I were on the Gunnar Helm tight end one train for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And again, I will stand by. I said this on an episode last week that Gunnar Helm is maybe the most safe prospect in this class. You won't miss drafting Gunnar Helm. He's just too rock solid all around. He'll find a way to produce in some capacity, some role. Tyler Warren's upside is unbelievable at that size, that explosiveness. Would you be shocked if he went out and he jumped 38 inches in the vertical jump?
You know, it's funny. I had my buddies over for the Penn State game last week, and mm-hmm. I was talking about his athleticism. And I said, he's at 6 foot six, 260. He's going to jump like 37 to 38 inches. Yeah, like those were the numbers that are in my head for how he's going to jump. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It wouldn't shock me. Like, and what's outrageous. And again, because it's almost shocking. And you've brought this up before is because it doesn't make sense how bad of a blocker he is because his core strength is unreal. Like his contact balance when his frame is completely exposed just makes no sense to me whatsoever. Like that Kent State game is a perfect example where he extends for a football along the boundary and Kent State dude takes a shot at his ribs and the Kent State guy bounces off of him like he's Captain America. Like just an unbelievable athlete. Again, Penn State isn't where they are without this guy. Their entire offense runs through him. At the NFL level, like he's only going to get better. I know he's a fifth-year senior. He's not a young guy, but I think he's only going to get better once he does kind of refine, learn some of hand technique and blocking and improving in that part of the game. But again, like there are a lot of teams, the Cleveland Browns are one in particular, that hate exposing their starting quarterback, the quarterback sneaks. Like this guy's going to score touchdowns at the goal line because they're going to put him in goal line situation or short yardage situations and let him sneak the football and things like that as well. Like there's and I'm not saying he's the ninth overall player because you have that flexibility to put him in quarterback sneaks, but like again, he's running wildcat, he's running out of the slot, he's running out right, he's running in line. Like you can do whatever you want with this guy.
I've tweeted this and I put it on Blue Sky. He's a supercharged version of Taysom Hill. Mm-hmm. He's super soldier serum Taysom Hill. Mm-hmm. I do think that provides a little bit of extra value than just being a tight end. If you can use a guy like Taysom Hill, and he's not Taysom Hill, that's a ton of value. And Taysom Hill got paid very handsomely for that and was very much a big part of that offense this year as well. He has not gone away just because Sean Payton went away. And so it's, I don't see how you watch the Penn State tape and think, yeah, we're just going to line him up in line and, mm-hmm. and let him play tight end. Like if you have an offensive coordinator, an offensive minded head coach worth their salt, they're going to get this dude the ball as many times as possible, however they can. Brock Bowers plus type usage.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. So who is your number nine?
My number nine is Malachi Starks. And he's number nine for all the reasons that we've kind of already talked about. Just a fantastic player. Somebody who, like we've talked about on Dafter Drafts, like teams should look at him as a corner. If they need an outside corner and they are drafting past the top two guys in Hunter and Johnson. And now, you know, Dane is even talking about, well, Johnson's long speed might not be what, you know, some of us think that it is, and he's been injured all year, so he's not a top 15 lock. I mean, if you really need a corner and you don't love Will Johnson, again, Malachi Starks, like that is the type of skill level that he has in man coverage. He is the inverse of college Jalen Ramsey, where sure, he's a corner, but he might be the best safety in the NFL if we put him back there. Mm-hmm. Ends up being the best corner in the NFL, so it doesn't matter. But that's the type of ability that somebody like Starks has. The coverage intelligence is there. I do think it's a little bit more difficult to go from safety to corner when it comes to like angles and the way that you are aligned at the snap. And if you're a team that runs a lot of cover three, like we're seeing this with Jahdae Barron going from the slot in the back end role to playing on the outside for Texas, like he's able to still play with zone eyes. I do think playing with more man eyes might be a little bit more difficult if you're talking about him being a corner, but just the fact that we can have that conversation mm-hmm. shows how insane he is as a player. So he has all that plus the physicality to come downhill, fill the alley, even play in the box a little bit. He's got the length and athletic ability to stick with safeties. These are two really, really good corners, or two really good safeties in this class. And at the end of the day, the real big difference ended up being size, because a lot of the rest of their game is very compatible. You know, when you're talking about, oh, could you imagine getting them together somehow? Oh, if he ends up, if Nick ended up actually being like the 50th player off of the board, and you have Starks be like, you know, 12 through 15, but that would be an incredible pairing, because they could play so well off of one another. But everything except for the anatomical differences between the two, when it comes to height, I still think that there are times where I've seen some stickiness in transition when it comes to playing in the slot. But that's a really difficult mm-hmm. assignment, playing in the slot against a lot of teams' best wide receivers these days, for somebody who is trained primarily as a safety. So I think there just might be a little bit of indecisiveness overall, gets you a little bit sticky, even though, you know, athletically you are good enough to do it. But a fantastic player, very worthy of a top 10 type of grade in any class, really.
Yep. Absolutely agreed. Agreed. All right, snaking around, who's 10? You got a 10.
Number 10 is Travis Hunter at wide receiver. And yeah. Then the number 10, actually, and this has changed, is Isaiah Bond, which does make him wide receiver 2 now, because Travis Hunter is wide receiver 1. And he dropped out of a round 1 grade. I just watched more and more of him. Mm-hmm. And we kind of talked about this a little bit. I think it was off air. There might be some issues with being in the right place at the right time with him in that offense. It looks like the quarterback who already struggles to push the ball downfield and to the intermediate levels, where somebody like him could really show out and show his skills, his ability to separate. He's not pushing the ball there because I don't think that he trusts him. He doesn't trust that wide receiver. And for Golden to get most of the manufactured touches as well, that's not a good sign. So even though I think that he is uber, uber talented, Bond is a little bit scary for me. Even though he's got the post-catch ability that I love, the shiftiness, the absolutely outrageous agility, and Xavier Worthy was dumb fast, and you could tell that very easily on tape. But Bond has even more agility, quick twitch, mm-hmm. in my opinion, than Worthy.
I would agree with that.
And he's probably going to touch the 4.2s or at least low 4.3s when he runs as well. And this isn't just a burner. We're not talking about Anthony Schwartz here. We're talking about somebody who can stick his foot mm-hmm. in the turf and turn on a dime, and shows a little bit of nuance as well. In that Michigan game, he had a couple of nice reps against Will Johnson. And so I see all of this upside, and I want to give the dude a fantastic grade, but that production isn't there. And I truly do believe it's not there for a reason. And we've seen more often than not, the guys who have, you know, some of these niche usages and don't produce a ton or have issues and are a little bit gimmicky, we've seen these guys flame out at the NFL level for one reason or another. And for as talented as I think Bond is, I do think that there is a higher bust rate, a higher flat out bust rate for him mm-hmm. than McMillan or even probably Burden, just because of his ability to really be a true weapon with the ball in his hands, just as a runner, which Bond can make guys miss, but he doesn't have the contact balance. He doesn't have the frame to hold up like that. So high risk, high reward, but that movement skill, I can't get over it. He just gets open against anybody he wants to.
He does. He's such an easy separator, but there are some hangups in his game and why he's not in my top 10. Mm-hmm. For me, you hit on one of the Texas A&M pass rushers
mm-hmm.
in your top 10. I'm going to hit on the other one as my 10th player in the class. Shamar Stewart, man. I mean, for one, rare body type. We're talking 6'6", 290 pounds, and the dude looks like a freaking Greek god. The dude looks like Hercules. Like he was sculpted as how he fits in that body type. Just a one-of-one build, outrageous length, outrageous upper body strength as well at that length. And again, I typically don't like bigger dudes because they typically struggle with knee bend and winning the leverage battle. I don't see that as an issue with Shamar Stewart at all. When he's setting an edge, man, he is locked out, full extension, hips sunk. Like he is a very, very firm run defender. And then we're talking about extremely rare explosiveness at that size as well. Extremely rare explosiveness. And it shows up particularly when they try to throw screens to his side and his ability to put his foot in the ground and explode to the boundary and routinely be the one to make the tackle on a wide receiver along the boundary on a screen play. It's like his forte. It's his specialty. I do think he's raw with his hands. I think he needs to improve pass rush plan beyond converting speed to power because he can do that at a very high level because he has leverage, because he has a great deal of lower half explosiveness. And so I think he does do that really, really well. But what I think I'm most impressed with is he has a skill set to win from 3-tech, 5-tech, and even 7-tech. What I'm most impressed with, because I have seen some pretty fluid ankles at that size. Not to say that like his fluidity and his bend is anything more than average to slightly above average, because again, he is 6'6" and 290 pounds, but I have seen him take the outside track frequently. I have seen him when he's twisting inside, bend around the inside shoulder of guards, almost in like putting his body in an L shape and contorting his frame to minimize surface area. I have seen things like that he's doing at the size that is not normal activity compared to another freakishly built edge rusher who's getting a lot of hype in this class that I don't see it with, who I will name in a later episode. But compared to that guy, like this is a no-brainer for me to have Shamar Stewart as my edge two. And as a top 10 player in this class right now, like he's going to go to Indianapolis and he might set some records at 6'6" and 290 pounds is how freakishly athletic this guy is. So I'm extremely bullish on him because I think at the end of the day, his floor is a big end. Like he could play two downs at the NFL level day one, and you're not blowing him off the football. Like that's a high floor. And again, his ceiling is even higher, because he is twitched up and he is explosive and he does have a rare body type. So I'm all aboard Shamar Stewart.
Yeah. I don't know if we were on or off air when we talked about it, but like the floor for him, like as a player, kind of just feels like Jadeveon Clowney. Like yeah. what Clowney became at the NFL level, which is like an explosive player and a great run defender, but just always a little bit underwhelming as a pass rusher.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're looking at mid-first round for a player like that, that's absolutely fine. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely fine. And then at the end of the day, like, yeah, you took a shot on a guy who might just be a one-of-one athlete, 6'6", 290. And like we've talked about before, looks smaller than Scorton because it's literally – there's no fat on this young man's body. Mm-hmm. He's literally built different.
And I've been told that he's very into anime. He's a big anime guy.
That means he is also huge into the gym as well.
Shouldn't
be a surprise. But if you are that big and an anime fan, you absolutely love the gym, and you wear nothing but anime t-shirts to the gym.
I love it. All right, so let's recap that six. Well, let's recap 1 through 10 for each of us here.
Yeah, let's do it.
Probably should have done it at the beginning.
I got them all here.
Yeah.
I got them all here. Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, 1 is Travis Hunter, corner Travis Hunter version. 2 is Abdul Carter, edge rusher out of Penn State. 3, Ashton Gentry, running back, Boise State. 4, Mason Graham, defensive tackle, Michigan. 5, Will Johnson, corner, Michigan. And then getting into today's episode, 6, Malachi Starks from Georgia, safety. 7, Luther Burden, the third wide receiver, Missouri. 8, Nick Emenwori, safety, South Carolina. 9, Tyler Warren, Penn State tight end. 10, Shamar Stewart, Texas A&M edge rusher.
And for me, I have number 1, Travis Hunter, corner. Number 2, Abdul Carter, edge rusher. 3, Mason Graham. 4, Will Johnson. 5, Ashton Janty. 6, Tyler Warren. 7, Nick Emenwori. 8, Nick Scorton. 9, Malachi Starks. 10, Travis Hunter, wide receiver. 10A, Isaiah Bond.
Love it.
We have 3 guys tied at 7.5 for our composite rankings.
Ooh, what are the composite rankings right now? Yeah.
It is number 1, Travis Hunter. Number 2, Abdul Carter. 3.5, so 3, Mason Graham. 4, Ashton Janty. 4.5, so 5 is Will Johnson. And then we have 3 guys at 7.5, Warren, Emenwori, and Starks. And then I have Shamar Stewart at 12.5 and Luther Burden at 11.5. And we have a couple guys who we don't have in common yet. So
nice. Yep. Nice. I love it. Awesome. So that's our top 10 players right now. We are 2 episodes through building our big boards. Again, this will start to speed up because, again, we won't have games to talk about and we have to fill content one way or the other. So I would imagine we're going to be doing probably 10 to 15 a week at some point in our draft cycle here. Maybe not, because there are Senior Bowl and Shrine Bowl and stuff like that to throw in there as well to talk about. So, but hey, we are making progress through this big board. But for now, this has been another episode of the Dapped on Draft podcast. We will be back tomorrow to talk about conference weekend, what kind of NFL draft prospects we think who could have some big money on the line, matchups to watch. But until then, this has been another episode of the Dapped on Draft podcast.